welcome to Retro Crush the Podcast. This is Robert Berry, and glad to see you joining us for another exciting episode. This is number 37, and we have an extremely creepy and depressing episode lined up for Halloween here. This won't be about monsters or the occult or anything along those lines, but we're going to focus on two just extremely disturbing audio tracks from some records from the 70s that I came across here. The first of which is from an album called Little Marky, but it's done with like Lil, you know, the L-I-L Marky, like Lil Archie and Lil Audrey. But anyway, this is from a website called showandtellmusic.com, which you can find a bunch of crazy old album covers, and in some cases you can hear tracks from them as well. And they write about this album, as far as Christian LPs go, I gotta say this is the most extreme thing I've ever heard. It's some full-grown man that sings with a munchkin voice, and he sings terrifying songs about drug use, abortion, and being a fat kid. And he writes that each of these fill me with a profound sense of dread, horror, and disgust. And it's a truly very scary song, unintentionally. I think this song was supposed to make you feel that, well, I won't say too much more about it, so it'll come as a surprise to you there, but be warned, this is a depressing song. You might not want your kids listening to this one here. It's not explicit as much as it's just revolting subject matter. So, without further ado, here's Lil Marky.
October 2nd. Today, my life began. My parents do not know it yet. I am as small as the pollen of a flower, but it is I already. I will be a boy. I will have blonde hair and blue eyes. Nearly everything is settled already. October 19th. I have grown a little, but I am still too small to do anything by myself. My mother does everything for me, although she still does not know that she is carrying me under her heart. But I am a real person, just as a crumb of bread is still real bread. My mother exists, and I do too. October 23rd. My mouth is just now beginning to open. Just think, in a year or so, I'll be laughing, or later I'll start to talk. My first word will be, Mama. October 25th. Today my heart began to beat. It will beat softly for the rest of my life, never stopping. After many years, it will tire and stop, then I shall die. November 2nd. I am growing continually. My arms and legs are taking shape, but I must wait a long time before these tiny legs will raise me to my mother's arms. November 12th. Tiny fingers are beginning to form on my hands. How small they are. One day I'll stroke my mother's hair and tell her how nice she is. November 20th. Only today the doctor told my mother that I'm living here under her heart. How happy she must be. Are you happy, Mother? November 25th. Today is Thanksgiving. My mother and father are probably thinking about a name for me. And they don't even know that I am a little boy. So they are probably calling me Barbara. But I want to be called Andy. I am growing so big. December 10th. My hair is growing. It is as bright and shiny as the sun. I wonder what kind of hair my mother has. December 13th. My eyes are almost fully developed, although the lids are still shut. When Mother brings me into the world, it will be full of sunshine and overflowing with flowers. I have never seen a flower, you know, but more than anything, I want to see my mommy. How do you look, Mommy? December 24th. I wonder if my mother hears the delicate beat of my heart. Some children are born with sickly hearts, and then the gentle fingers of the doctor performs miracles to make them healthy. But my heart is healthy. It beats so evenly. Tup, 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 tup. You shall have a healthy son, Mother. December 28th. Today, my mother killed me.
But wait, it's not over yet. No, no. Luckily, little Marky's going to exist in the afterlife here and sing a little scolding tune to shame his horrible mother.
Why did
did you kill me, Mommy? When God made me special for you, I really wanted to see you and put my little arms around you. Why did you kill me, Mommy? Because I thought you really cared for me. And I wonder what I would have grown up to be. I guess I'll never know. 'Cause Mommy, you killed me.
Wow. That was actually, that song was the theme to my senior prom, and needless to say, it was the most depressing senior prom the world has ever seen. And to answer little Andy's question there, why did you kill me, Mommy, I think it's because she was creeped out about having an old fat guy that seems like a little baby inside of her tummy. By the way, please forgive the phone ringing there. Things are always happening here in the Retro Crush Studios. Well, to go from that depressing downer of a beginning there, it was probably the most grim beginning of a Retro Crush podcast we have ever had, or ever will, I hope. Here is a track from an album called Picking Up Girls Made Easy, and I found this on a website. It was on the Something Awful .com forums, and somebody posted a link to something called HydeParkRecords.net, where there's an old album, it's got to be from the early 70s from the look of it, called Picking Up Girls Made Easy. It's the pickup system that no girl can resist. It's this incredibly sexist way on how to pick up just strange girls off the street. And we're going to play a couple of the scenarios for you so you can listen to them there. And you know, just again, remember, this was probably done around 72 or 73, so the mindset of what's acceptable to say to women's changed quite a bit.
What's the place where you see more girls that you'd like to pick up than any other place? The street, of course.
The street, of course. I mean, when you're walking down the street, especially the right street, there's always the hottest women.
And that's why it's so important that you master the basic elements of the street pickup. There are a few basic principles that you have to master before you can move on to wild, uninhibited street play. First, it's important to remember not to get greedy. Pick a girl whose outfit and style you really like, so when you make your move, she'll instinctively know you're sincere and mean it. Remember, girls like guys who know what they want, and a girl likes to think you think she's something special. There's a second general rule for street pickups, and that's having a relaxed approach. You've got to keep cool and act casual. Not so casual that the girl doesn't think you're interested, but offhand enough so you don't alarm her. With these two points in mind, choosing your chick carefully and keeping your approach casual, let's watch Mike in action in downtown Dallas when he was in town on business and it looked to him like every secretary in town was taking her Texas-sized titties for a lunch hour exercise walk.
Her Texas-sized titties. Wow, this is going to be good. Watch this setup here, too. Basically, they're instructing him how to completely lie to a woman to get her attention and just deceive her with an elaborate setup here. This is just should almost be illegal.
Oh, brother. Look at those knockers. Jesus. And those. Look at the points on those. No bra on that chick. There's another one. She's got a pair. Jesus. Well, these Texas chicks are too much.
Phew. Whoops. Mike's forgotten rule number one, and he's just spinning his wheels. Don't forget, you've got to make a decisive choice. After all, you're not girl-watching. Mike's like the donkey who's starving because it can't choose between two bales of Texas hay. It's only...
Ah, yes, that old analogy. Actually, I think Mike's first mistake was actually commenting about the shape of every woman's tits that walks by out loud and going, "Oh, Jesus, she's got a pair."
It's only an ass that can't make hay in Dallas, Mike. Settle down and take your pick.
Excuse me, but I wonder if you tell me where you get your hair done.
What?
Your hair, it's perfect. I'd like to know where you get it done. It's beautiful and just perfect for the job.
By the way, if you listen to this guy, he kind of sounds a lot like Al Pacino. I wonder if Al was looking for some work and was pretty desperate and took this job on. Am I wrong? Listen for yourself.
Perfect for what job?
A second ago, this groovy chick was just a girl in his dreams. Now Mike's managed to intrigue and flatter her using her most lovely and least complimented, because her breasts usually get all the attention, feature, her hair. But Mike plays it very cool and keeps spinning his web.
Let me explain. I'm an advertising executive, and we're down here in Dallas looking for girls with hair as pretty as yours to use in our shampoo commercials on television.
Really?
Yeah. And this Texas sun is murder on most hair I've seen today, but yours is lovely. Just lovely.
Well, thank you.
Now Mike set her up. All girls want to be on television, so Mike puts a real casual front on. He doesn't want this girl to think she's going to get on television too easily.
Well, I don't want to hold you up. I'm sure you're very busy. Why don't you just tell me the name of your beauty parlor, and I can go by there and see if I can find someone there who's got some spare time.
I got some spare time.
Are you sure?
Why, yes, I'm certain.
Oh, this is a real imposition. You're going to lunch.
Now,
by the way, check out what we're commenting about voices here. Is it just me, or does this woman sound like she's 75?
Now Mike is careful not to get too casual and lose her. He gives her just enough slack and sets the hook.
No, I was just going shopping for a few things. It can wait.
You know, I'd never be able to find such perfect hair for us in any beauty parlor anyway.
But I wash and set it myself.
You do?
Yes.
Well, can you spare a minute from your shopping?
Yes.
Then why don't you give me all the details? Let's duck in here for a drink for a minute.
Mike has completely disarmed her natural street defenses by complimenting her and then backing off, pretending he's not so interested. Now that they're having a drink, let's see how he handles telling this luscious chick he's really an insurance salesman without losing her.
You know, I've got something I should confess to you.
What's that?
Well, I really noticed your hair for personal reasons.
Oh?
You see, I'm just visiting Dallas on business, and when I saw you, I thought to myself, now she belongs in a television commercial. She's so great looking. If I were in advertising, I would have picked you from all the girls in Dallas to be in my shampoo commercial.
Really?
That's the truth.
Now Mike's told her the truth, and he's still pretending he doesn't even notice the snowy cleavage she's showing him.
I sure have enjoyed meeting a Texas girl.
Well, it's been real fun meeting a man who treats a girl so nice.
Say, since I don't know a thing about Dallas, maybe you could suggest a club where they have dinner and dancing.
Well, there's the Pot of Luck, or there's Sir William's Inn.
Which is your favorite?
Sir William's.
How'd you like to go there with me tonight?
I was supposed to go to the movies.
Oh, well, that's too bad. This is my only night in town. I was really hoping to step out and enjoy some real Texas hospitality.
Mike lets her know it's tonight or never.
I could go to the movies another night.
And tonight you can show me Sir Williams. Terrific! I'll meet you afterward.
That's it. From sidewalk to evening date. Mike played it beautifully once he settled down and chose his girl. Because he picked a chick he really dug, his natural sincerity showed, and she instinctively trusted him. He was...
Now, we're going to end that for today in that part, but we're going to bring more installments as future podcasts come up here, but I can't for the life of me think of a woman you could pretend to be an acting agent and lead her in and then so quickly say, I just made all that up so I can get your phone number. I would think that'd be accompanied by a stiff slap to the face. Here's a fun piece of audio. I guess this year in Utah, their state fair celebrated the 150th anniversary, and they got the Utah resident actors who played Napoleon Dynamite and Pedro in the film Napoleon Dynamite to cut a couple different commercials, and they're pretty funny. Here's the audio from them.
Horses are magnificent. They can be ridden on and they can pull a sled. But did you know that the first horses were invented by Utah State Fair scientists to defend pioneer farms of old from wild Sasquatch attacks?
Who won?
What?
Who won the bet on?
Do you see any flipping Sasquatches around here? Can I have a turn? In days of yore, the Utah State Fair didn't have sweet rides, like the Scrambler, Rocco Plane, the Octopus.
What about the Zipper?
Yeah, right. Instead, they had retarded crap like this. Ready to go?
At this point, he's putting Napoleon in a cardboard box and his curly red hair sticking out the seam of the lid. And so he's putting masking tape on top of the box, and then he's going to start rolling him down bleachers and rolling him down a hill. Well, now it's time for Retro Crush email. How do you like that theme song? Anyway, we'll get to that one in a minute, but I got a great email subject line here from Vic Phillipson, who the subject of the email, which I'm always happy to get one like this, says Lesbians, Waffles, and Norwegians, which is, I think, one of the movies I rented for my bachelor party long ago. But this says, hey, Robert, greetings from the frozen north, particularly from Kristiansand, Norway. I really enjoy your podcast. Having grown up in the States during the 60s and 70s, I love hearing the old commercials and theme songs. Truly a blast from the past. I usually listen to your podcast in the kitchen while I'm getting breakfast ready for my kids. This past Saturday, I was making waffles and listening to Retro Crush. Actually, this week, I had some help. My 6-year-old and 3-year-old sons were helping me with the said waffles. We were really digging the crazy Baptist preacher. He's talking about episode 36 there. I didn't realize that Mr. Wilson was going to preach about strap-on lesbian anal sex. Not that there's anything wrong with that. My kids are trilingual, Norwegian, German, and English. However, their language abilities don't extend to strap-on lesbian and anal sex, and I wasn't going to attempt a translation, so we had to switch over to All My Little Duckies. Sorry. Anyway, keep up the good work. I really love the podcast, and remember, yo butt ain't made for that. So, thanks, you. What a nice email to get there, Vic. Regarding the website, we got a little email from Stephen Meisky, who writes, I'm enjoying your 100 Greatest Horror Movie Performances feature, but is there a reason why number 98 and number 51 are the same person? He pointed out a mistake I made where we had Julian Beck as Reverend Kane from Poltergeist 2. So we made that fix. We've been counting these down, though. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. We've got it's the 100 Greatest Horror Movie Performances, and we've got number 100 through about 32 up on the site. And within the next day and a half, they should all be up there, well in time to finish out Halloween. So check it out. I think we just put up some things about Bruce Campbell, Sid Haig, and a bunch of other great ones there, too. So it's give you a lot of fun ideas of some movies to see around the Halloween season here that you might not have considered. So part of the song that you heard there as we were introducing the letters is a tune called Gay Spirits. And there is one of my favorite CDs. It's a compilation CD put out from the Ultra Lounge collection called Space Capades. They have about 15 different compilations with different themes to them. They have ones that's kind of like old crime music and cocktail party stuff. Just, really retro swinging kind of music here. And I picked this CD up about 4 years ago, and I still love it a lot to this day. And the Space Capades compilation, which we'll have a link to on our show notes through Amazon there, if you can't find it. But it's just got just great, great energetic music. And a lot of this stuff is music that you may have heard in some of the Warner Brothers cartoons. The first song that I want to share with you, again, it's called Gay Spirits. You could totally just imagine this happy 50s housewife with all of her space-age cleaning equipment, just having a fun time vacuuming the house and cooking dinner, and everything's just happy. I like to play this music while I'm doing housework sometimes myself. Our next track is called Powerhouse. Now, if you've never heard of Powerhouse before by name, you've certainly heard it in a lot of different cartoons. It was composed in 40s there, but it's by 1936, excuse me, by Raymond Scott, and it was written, performed, and composed by him. And the song's called Powerhouse, and pieces of it have been used in all kinds of different Warner Brothers cartoons. We're going to play pieces of it here, and I think you'll recognize it right away. You can just imagine Bugs Bunny getting chased right here. And this is the one that you'd see in a lot of cartoons where a lot of factory assembly line type things getting manufactured. Good old Powerhouse there by Raymond Scott. This the next piece on this album is just a great, great CD. Again, I can't recommend enough Space Capades. It's called Saber Dance, and this is another one you've heard a million times in other things. A lot of people might remember, if you've ever seen Ed Sullivan shows, when they had a bit where a guy'd be spinning a bunch of plates on pool cues or performing some kind of a miraculous feat, that this music would often come in. I believed it was also used in one of the Addams Family movies as well. But this is composed by a gentleman by the name of Aram Khachaturian. And he was born in 1903 in Moscow and died in 1978. And this is probably his most famous work. And again, if it doesn't come to mind, I'm sure you've heard it once you listen to a bit of it here. But anyway, there's a lot of good tracks on there. I think it's worth picking up there. Go to retrocrush.com and click the podcast button where we have our show notes, and I'll put some links to some of the information we just talked about here. And we're going to close out with another track from this great CD. It's a cover of Puttin' on the Ritz. Is the Irving Berlin song, which was, of course, done in the 80s by a guy by the name of Taco that a lot of you might remember. So here it is, and it's performed by Terry Snyder. That's who it is. Have a good day, everybody. We'll be right back.
let you in this podcast, 'cause God made it special for you. I really like this podcast, Robert. Now it's gone. I'll never be able to put my cute little ears on those headphones and ever hear it again.